Thank you, ladies. That was beautiful. At this time, we're going to ask Pastor Terry Terry, the pastor of Friendship Baptist Church in Boyd, Texas, to come up here and preach for us. Pastor Terry is an amazing man. He is the one who cooked all the fish for us last night. I am amazed at how God is using this brother. I know he's got a message to deliver. Preacher, come on up here and share what God's put on your heart. Thank you, sir.
Bless you. Don't start my time yet. I met these boys yesterday.
Conocí a estos niños ayer.
At the hotel.
En el hotel.
Brother Bill introduced me to them.
El pastor Billy nos introdujo.
Jonathan and Alex.
Jonathan and Alex.
That's right. I got it right.
Yeah.
You're my friends, right?
Yeah.
Si.
Si.
Poquito.
No.
Mucho.
Si.
Mucho. Poquito español. I asked him to help me a little bit this morning. I said, are you good at interpreting?
Me pidió anoche que me podía introducir esta mañana.
Alex said no.
Me dijo que no.
They are nervous, but so am I.
Él está nervioso igual que nosotros.
Put it up there closer.
Okay.
Come closer to me. I'm going to tell you a story.
Va a contar una historia.
About what happened this past Sunday.
De acerca de qué pasó el domingo pasado.
Up here on the screen.
Acá arriba en la pantalla.
Is my new church.
Es una nueva iglesia.
Those wooden floors.
Esos piezas de madera.
Are the original floors? Are the original?
Son los pisos originales.
My church is 138 years old.
Su iglesia es de 38 años. 130.
And we found these floors.
What?
And we found these floors.
Y encontraron estos pisos.
Underneath the carpet.
Debajo de del tapete.
They've been hidden in darkness.
Estuvieron escondidos en oscuridad.
For over 50 years.
Por ahí de 50 años.
Are you still nervous?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'm going to let them off the hook now. But before I go, I want to do something for you. That is for you, and that is for you. Thank you for helping me with my sermon. I love young people. I love preachers, and I love preacher kids, and I love missionaries. And that $100 will go a lot farther in Mexico than it will here. See, I got paid to do this, and you helped me, so we split it three ways. It's good? I love you. I love you. Okay, start my time. This will start in John chapter 17, and now I'm more nervous that they left me. I talked to Dr. Barber yesterday, and I said, you know I don't like to preach to preachers. And he said, just be Terry Terry. So he gave me permission to be Terry Terry. So I had to change my sermon up. That's why I did that. I've got two titles for this sermon. One, that they may know thee. And two, if these floors could talk. If these floors could talk. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for the day. And I do thank you for the opportunity to stand before these men and women and children that have given their lives to serve you. I count it an honor. And you know I'm scared. You know I'm nervous. But I know that you have the power through your word to speak to their hearts. And I'm asking you, Lord, to take your message, you apply it upon my heart and apply it to the hearts of your people. Challenge them, encourage them. Meet with us this morning and we'll give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 17 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Where's my picture of my floors here? There it is right there. Leave that up there right there for me. Sunday marked the day where the past and the present meet. These old wooden floors have been brought back to life after many years of darkness. They now shine in newness, and their aged beauty now represents the past. If these floors could talk, the stories they would tell about the Spirit of God moving in this place. The lives that were changed, and soul after soul that knelt down on the altar at these old wooden floors. The preachers of old that preached the gospel, men like J.C. House, he's here today. J. Frank Norris preached in my church. Lois Vest, Bill Slayton, Bob Smith, J.D. Wido, A.V. Henderson, George Crittenden, and Dr. Raymond Barber all preached in my church. Why would so many people... Where'd I go? I skipped the whole thing there. If these floors could talk, they would tell of the messages that were preached. They would tell of the hearts that were stirred, the soul-stirring sermons, and the Spirit of God moving. But they cannot talk. They cannot tell us the stories. How God sent raccoons to frustrate the preacher, to the point that he reached out for help. Can I see that picture of that real quick? Here's my church, the one at the ceiling. Here's what my church looked like the last Sunday before we started. Old raccoons, had a family of about 8, at least I know, were just terrorizing me. Every time I would come into the church, they had torn up another ceiling tile, and I was getting frustrated, insulation, and that was the last straw right there. So that's it. I'm getting rid of these raccoons. I set out traps in the auditorium, caught a cat in my auditorium. I shot 2 raccoons and have 5 holes in the roof of my church. I was mad at the raccoons. We didn't have the money to remodel my church, but I have friends in the community, a sheetrocker, some builders, electrician, an air conditioning guy, all men that I drink coffee with every morning at the coffee shop. And I was so frustrated, and I was telling them what was going on. And I said, I need some help. I need some help getting these raccoons out. I need some help. We've remodeled a lot, and just through the years, just trying to keep the church going. And the community of Boyd, Texas, and these men came together, and in 10 days, we totally took out. We started just with the ceiling on a Monday morning, and we were just going to repair the ceiling. Come to find out that the 2 buildings joined, the ceiling rafters were 2x4s in the old building. They weren't even 2x6s, and they were uneven. And they said, "Brother Terry, we got a lot bigger job than we thought." I said, "We've got a big God." So we started with ceiling joists, new wiring, new duct work, new lighting. Can I see the picture of the new church? It's coming. With all the people there. In 10 days, new sheetrock, new paint, new doors, And you can see in that picture how the floor stops and then the carpet starts. And the sheetrock guy, Ernest Parton, a dear friend of mine, he's a deacon in the First Baptist Church there in Boyd. He donated everything. That's the third remodeling job that we've had, and he donated all the sheetrock, all the labor, all the painting. A $45,000 remodeling job, and we got it done for less than $10,000. Because God is good. We have a big God. We have a big God. So, speeding up the process, I said, you know what? We've got a new building. Our high, we started with 9 there at the church 8 years ago, going on our 8th year. 9 counting me and my family. So really 6. And you see there we had 183 Sunday morning. 183. Our previous high was 135 2 weeks ago prior to that. And God's doing a great work in our community. A great work in our community. So these floors cannot tell the story how this frustrated preacher was mad at those raccoons. And he called out to his dear friends, godly friends, friends who have a heart for God, a heart for God's work, friends who have a desire to invest in God's house and God's work. And the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would so many people give so unselfishly, put off financial gain for such a thing as this? Now, all these men are successful businessmen and are very busy. And they pulled off their crews to come and to work together, knowing I could not pay them, knowing that I had no money. Why would people do such a thing? I will tell you why. Here's the reason why. In verse number 3, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee. The reason why financial gain was set aside is because they understood the value of eternal life. That you cannot put a price tag on salvation. They understand the heart of God is salvation for all. And that Brother Terry has a heart for the community of Boyd, Texas. And they know that this church has a heart for souls. Jesus said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So preachers, missionaries, folks out here, there's two themes that I would like to share with you this morning. Two themes that go right along with knowing God and knowing Jesus. By the way, I have many friends here today, and I had many friends there that morning. Some that I knew that I invited a lot of people there, and I knew that it was my last chance, maybe my only chance, to preach the gospel to them. Friends that drove as far as 2 hours away to be in the service. Some of them who I know, have known me since childhood, friends that I love and friends that share that I share with my hobbies, friends that I would do anything for and that would do anything for me. But friends, can I tell you that there's a friend, there's not a friend like Jesus. He's never going to leave me. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus and I never get in trouble together. He never leads me to a place I shouldn't be. He talks with me and he walks with me. He's the reason I sing. He's the song of my heart and he's the lover of my soul. He's the joy of my salvation. Which brings me to theme number 1, the joy in believing. Philippians 3, 1 through 17 says this, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the conscience. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more circumcised the 8th day, and the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin,
and a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Verse number 7 says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse number 12 says, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. The joy in believing. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord, in verse number 1 of chapter number 3 of Philippians. One reason we rejoice is because we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. There should be no happier person on earth than a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I say that again? There should be no happier people. Preachers ought not mope around thinking, well, I only had a few in church. Well, nobody came down to the altar, or none of this, or none of that, or the bills aren't being paid. Preachers ought to be the happiest people in all the earth. People ought to see the joy of your salvation every day. You ought not have to wear a tie to be called a Christian. You ought not have to be wearing a suit to be called a Christian. I don't wear a suit and tie except when I'm in the pulpit or I'm in a funeral. Sorry, I'm not that preacher. I'm Brother Terry Terry. When I go to the coffee shop, I'm wearing blue jeans and boots and a work shirt. Lots of times I have cow dung on my shoes. Lots of times I have blood on my hands. I go out there and I work, and I have a song in my heart. Whether I'm working cows or I'm building fences with somebody or I'm painting somebody's barn for them, there's a joy of my salvation that's still there. Some people just like to play preacher. I like to be the preacher. My goal in Wise County and Boyd, Texas is to be the preacher, be the pastor for those that may never, ever, ever step inside my church, but they can still come to Brother Terry in a time of need. The men in the coffee shop, it's a unique place, and you know, I know that you're thankful for the fish, but one of these days I'm going to be known as a preacher of the gospel and a fisher of men instead of a fisher of fish, and I'm working hard at that. And I got a good fishing hole right there at the coffee shop in Boyd, Texas. I've led 4 people to the Lord. Matter of fact, after Sunday, Monday morning, I was there at the coffee shop, and the men around, some of them went and some of them didn't, but I invited all of them to church on Sunday. Some of them came, some of them didn't. As soon as I walked in, smiles come across the tables. When I sit down and my meal is there, I pray for every single person at the table. Why? Because I love them. Why? Because I'm their preacher. I don't care if they show up to church or not. They're going to get a little preaching and a little praying for every morning that I drink coffee. Because I love them. Because the love of Christ is in me. And they're my people. And so we talked about the great day and some of the farmers and the ranchers that had first-time visitors said, I had never seen church like that before. And we talked about the salvation of the man, and I'm going to share that with you in just a minute. Talked about the salvation of the man that walked forward. And as I was leaving, there's two main tables there, and I sit at one, and when I pray, all the Cowboys take off their hats, and I pray for every one of those men and their families and the ones that have cancer and the problems in their lives, and thank them for the friendship that they have. But as I was walking out the other table right there, and Brother Allen and Brother Billy, they both sit there, and they kind of run that table there. Brother Bob, now I can call him Brother Bob, 78-year-old man. When I gave the invitation on Sunday morning, I first gave it, and you know how you sometimes you say, man, I'm not landing the plane very good here. And, you know, I preached my heart out, and all of a sudden, it's kind of a rough landing. And so I gave another invitation. I went down and I prayed and said, God, I need your help now. I said, I know there's souls out there that aren't saved, and I know if this is my last chance. I need your help. So I give another invitation. Heads bowed, eyes closed, and you know how it is, preacher. He said, you know there's some out there that are scared. And I said, listen, you don't have to walk down this aisle to get saved. You don't have to walk down this aisle to know who Jesus is. And I start laying it out there right there for him again. And I said, and then, well, I'll tell you the story right now. I guess that's where the Lord's leading me. And as I was praying that, I said, listen, you could be saved right there in that pew. If you don't know Jesus like I know Jesus, and you want to know Jesus like I know Jesus, the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's that easy, sinner. It's that easy. And I told him, listen, you don't have to figure out if Jesus was real. History proves that. You can go take the tour over there, and they'll show you where a man named Jesus walked and lived and died and was crucified and buried in a tomb. It's all right there. You can go see it. It's its historical foundation. It's proof. It's there. All you've got to decide this morning is Jesus real? Is he really the Son of God? Did he really pay the price for your sins? And I laid it out there one more time, and all of a sudden I hear, footprints hitting that old wooden floor. Man, I look up and there's Brian Maynard, an old cowboy, fishing buddy. Got his vest on, got his big old goatee. And he's bigger than Brother Mike. Big old guy. And he's standing right there, bawling. I'm right mid-prayer, man. I'm fixing to close this thing out. And he said, Brother Terry, I said, Ryan, what do you need? Brother Terry, I need to get saved. And I said, time out. We're not praying anymore. We're going to get this done. I walked down there. And I said, some of you may be just like Brother Brian. And I grabbed a hold of Brother Brian and I hugged him. And I said, Brian, you really want to get saved today? And he says, I want to get saved today. And I said, the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with your mouth, would you like to confess Jesus as your Savior today? Yes, I do. I said, listen, you could say a prayer and still go to hell. You got to believe in your heart. Are you going to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? He says, yes, I do. And I said, Brian, would you follow me in a little sinner's prayer? He says, yes, I will. I said, Lord, here's Brian. He knows he's a sinner. And Brian said, I know I'm a sinner. I said, Lord, he knows you died on the cross for me. He says, Lord, I know you died on the cross for me. I said, Lord, he wants to ask you in your heart. And Lord, here's Brian. And he said, Jesus, will you come into my heart? Woo-hoo-hoo! Man, I got excited. Some Christians got excited. That's how we have church out there in Boyd, Texas. Sometimes we give two invitations. Sometimes we shout. And then I said, listen, Brian got saved today. I said, you may have said that prayer. I told you I wouldn't embarrass you, have you come down or nothing. But, hey, let me know if you really meant it. Got through with church. Teenage boy came to me. I said, Brother Terry, I want to get saved. I led Dalton Medlock to the Lord after church that morning. Get home, my phone gets text messages all day. I try to get some rest and text message. Get one, says, Angela raised her hand. She got saved today. My fiance. And I get another text from another guy. Brother Terry, I need to talk to you about some things. I'll get back with you. So we fast forward to Monday. And I'm at the coffee shop, and man, we're just celebrating things. And some of the guys said, oh man, Brother Terry, I forgot, you know. And I said, that's all right, we're open next Sunday. So we're going to have another big day. And then I was leaving, 78-year-old man, Bob, been visiting my church. Brother Allen invited him to revival, and he thought, well, I'll just keep coming back. And he just been keep coming back. Sometimes he even shows up on Wednesdays. And old Bob showed up, and I was walking out, and I walked by their table, and I just happened to sit back down and said, man, what a service, wasn't it? I said, we're going to baptize Brian this Sunday. And Bob said, preacher, reckon I could get baptized too? And I said, well, Bob, did you get saved? And he said, I said that prayer you were talking about. And I pulled out a tract. I said, Bob, let's go over this. And he says, I know I got saved. You don't have to go over that. I said, okay. Let's get baptized then. So we got two baptisms there. 78-year-old man. 78-year-old man. And I get to be his preacher. And then I got a text message from my dad. Been inviting him, and I led his neighbor to the Lord on a deer hunt. Led him to the Lord about 5 years ago. And he invited him to church. And he's got two teenage boys, and he texted me. And so I called him, and he said, man, Justin was under conviction. He was shaking in the pews, and after the service, he said, Dad, I almost went up there. And I said, hey, when I get through, I'm coming. I told him, when I get through here, I'll come by. So we'll talk to Justin about that. Another teenage boy. Can I tell you something? Jesus is real. Amen. You know, that's what I kept telling them. I said, is Jesus real in your life? Is Jesus real? It's not blinking, so I guess I'll keep going on until I run out. There is joy in believing. I take joy in believing in the power of the resurrection. I take joy in believing in the great joy in believing that I am apprehended of Christ. Can I tell you another story about, and you know what? Baptists ought not be afraid of being spirit-led and spirit-filled. Are we not supposed to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Are we not supposed to have the joy of our salvation? And people ought not see us to be peculiar people. I've got that one down. So I was coming up that whole mile, I guess it is, from the hotel to here. And I come underneath the bridge, and I'm thinking, well, do I need to get on or do I stay on the exit? So, well, I got on. So I just make sure that I can make it to Campus Drive, and I got on, and traffic's coming. And, man, I'm just, well, I see Campus Drive. Well, I'm in the right lane, and here's this car just comes over, no blinker or nothing. So, boy, I ought to use my old bumper on him, my buck stop bumper. Didn't say thank you or nothing, man. I was mad. Here I am coming to preach, man. So I get to the light, and I turn in, and I'm coming to the parking lot right there, and I missed the first parking lot, so I thought, well, it looks like there's another parking lot right there, that little turnaround thing right over there, you know. I said, well, I turn in there. Well, there's a bus right there, one of those shuttle buses, and that guy was not happy that I've turned into his little turnaround, and he gave me the finger and honked at me. I said, well, how dare him? Well, I turned around, and I pulled in the parking lot, and I pulled in right behind Brother Bill, and he was getting out, and I got out, and man, I'm still mad at that guy. And I have one track sitting right there on my console. I grabbed my Bible, and I said, yeah, that guy needs that track, but I got to go in there and pray. When I got about halfway to the door, and the Holy Spirit said, well, are you going to give it to him, or are you going to go in there and pray? That's why I was late to prayer meeting. I'm sorry about that. I was here on time, same time for Bill, but man, I turned around and said, man, I'm fixed to preach. I better follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So I get in my truck and I drive around. I don't know what that thing is over there, what they're doing over there, but people were busy. And I was driving around looking for that shuttle. And I saw him. I was at a stop sign, and here he come. He stopped at the stop sign. And there he is. And I was peering at him, and I just gave him the, in the country, we just like that, you know, on the steering wheel, just like that. And he gave me one back. I said, well, I got his attention. So I whipped it around, and I followed him to his little turnaround. I didn't go in the turnaround. I didn't want to make him mad again, but so I blocked the whole road over there. Just stopped, car running, truck running, jump out, and I'm running over there to that little bus stop, and somebody gets on, and he's trying to shut the door. He thinks, get in there. And he says, are you lost? And I said, no, are you? And I gave him a track. I said, I just want to tell you I'm sorry for turning in your turnaround. I was trying to get to that church right there. I said, and I was walking through that parking lot. I said, and the Lord told me to give you this. I just want to let you know you have a blessed day, my friend. And I handed him that track, and I got out of there. Hey, the Bible says my word will not turn void. If nothing else, he can't be mad at me anymore. And when I get to heaven, I won't have to be accountable for that bus driver over there, because the Holy Spirit said give him a track. Is Jesus real in your life? I got the opportunity to come here today because I catch fish and I fry fish. Not because I'm an elegant preacher. I'm scared to death, but you guys made it easy on me. I appreciate that. I know you're my friends, but I know there's a lot better preachers around. There's a lot better preachers in my community, in Wise County, Popeteers, friends of mine. But the one thing that God's put upon me is my heart. And I said, I might not be able to preach better than them. I might not be able to obtain knowledge as well as them. And there's some pretty smart guys here. But I can love more than anybody else. I can love like Jesus. And that's something he gives me the power to do. So I look at everybody. These young men right there, money means nothing to me. It's just a means of being a blessing to somebody else. And I mean that. Check my checking account. I got $384 in it this morning. And I'm lucky, because I got more than I ever had. Is Jesus real to you? He really is my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He really is the guide and the light of my life. He's the joy of my salvation, and he's the reason I'm in the ministry today. I appreciate these great men of faith that have stuck behind me and have supported me and prayed for me, and Miss Barber, too. I don't want to forget her, because they've encouraged me when I want to quit. But they're not the reason I'm still in the ministry. Jesus is the reason. Is Jesus real to you? Oh, I'll end it right there. Give somebody some extra time.
It's because of preachers in forgotten towns around this nation that Mount Abiram is able to do what it's doing. Brother Terry is the kind of preacher that when a missionary shows up on a Sunday morning, he makes a big deal out of it. It makes you feel special. If you've ever been to his church, you know what I'm talking about. Brother Terry, I didn't just invite you to preach because you know how to cook fish. I went out to his church. My dad had told me, he said, son, you ought to go visit that church someday, and I did. I saw a heart of a preacher. He took me fishing, and I enjoyed that. But I'll tell you what was more impressive than going out and catching a bunch of catfish with him. I invited him to go eat some Mexican food, and we went into a Mexican restaurant there in Boyd. And as we were walking in, he said hi to no less than 10 different people that recognized him immediately. They called him preacher. When he prayed, he did exactly what he did in the coffee shop. He raised his voice, and literally every person in the whole restaurant heard the prayer. And he wasn't embarrassed. They expected it from him. They knew he's the preacher in town. Praise God for preachers in small towns around America that are faithful. Thank you, Brother Terry, for sharing your heart this morning. And thank you for letting us see who Terry really is. I appreciate that.